I'm Matthew Petty, and this is Intersection. One year ago, on February 26th, Neighbourhood Watch volunteer George Zimmerman shot and killed unarmed teen Trayvon Martin. It was during a scuffle in a residential neighbourhood of Sanford. Martin had run out in the rain for some Skittles and iced tea. Zimmerman claimed self-defence, and under Florida's Stand Your Ground law, he was not immediately arrested. The delay in Zimmerman's arrest sparked massive protests and focused the world's attention on Sanford. Today, the city is trying to move on from the shooting and searching for a new identity and vision for its future. I'll talk with Sanford Mayor Jeff Triplett about it. That's ahead on Intersection. It's been a year since Trayvon Martin's death. How the shooting will ultimately shape Central Florida's oldest city remains a question. Will Sanford be known for racial divisions and the protests that drew tens of thousands after Martin's death? How about the city's historic downtown of antique shops, restaurants and old homes, or its commercial corridor near Seminole Town Center Mall? Well, to sort it out, Sanford residents have established Imagine Sanford, a project aimed at creating a solid identity for the city and a plan for how to get there. Jeff Triplett is Sanford's mayor, and he joins me now in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So, Mayor Triplett, I want to ask you, the project steering committee, as I understand, it's made up of business and civic leaders. It's got residents in there too, and already they've been out there gathering information about this moving forward with this project, Imagine Sanford. What kind of feedback have they had so far?
Really, a lot of the feedback is where what the future holds for Sanford. You know, the 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, and a 20 year type program of what type of development we want to see. What kind of businesses we want to see come into town. The social atmosphere of Sanford and how it all kind of ties together. That's the most important thing. In my mind, is that we have four pretty distinct style areas within the city of Sanford, and how do we pull all those together to kind of work in sync with one another? And so that's what the group is really charged with, is where are we going to be in those milestone marks of the years that go by.
When you say four distinct areas, do you mean geographical locations?
Geographically, we've got Georgetown, we've got Goldsboro, we've got South, and then we've got the West Side, which has the new what I would call the box development, the mall, the big box stores, the car dealerships of sorts. So pretty distinct areas as far as geographically and socially, so to speak.
Where does the city center fit into that? Is that a separate unit all of its own?
Yeah, you've got the downtown corridor, which is the old bricks and mortar, from the original setting of Sanford, and that's our downtown corridor is what other cities are actually trying to recreate with new bricks and mortar. It's kind of the core, and as they say, the old saying of as downtown goes, so goes the city. So we've got a CRA there, Community Redevelopment Agency, that's getting ready to sunset. We've put a lot of money into downtown, and that's really the crux of our where people come to see and spend time. So that's a very distinct area also.
Now, when you talk about the four distinct areas of Sanford, I mean, when you walk around the city, when you drive around it, do you get the sense that when you move from one area to another, for example, going from French Avenue into Goldsboro, it's like there is a quite a distinct division there? I mean, do you want to sort of create more porousness between those areas? Like, or how do you sort of bridge those gaps?
You try. There's always been, with 1792 being right through the middle of town, there's always kind of been a separation on the east side and the west side as far as that's concerned. You know, with us putting the public safety complex several years ago on the west side in Goldsboro, we haven't done a very good job of pulling Goldsboro in, not really pulling them in, but making them a part of the city, so to speak. And so what we've done is we've reached out on a couple different levels with our CDBG money to where the roadway improvements have gone to the public safety complex, and then it just ends. And then you've got the old Goldsboro down, historic Goldsboro Boulevard. Well, we want to take that and do the beautification on down through 13th, which kind of ties that into 1792 and ties it into what's happening on the east side of town also in the downtown corridor.
Mm-hmm. So some of the ideas proposed, welcoming signs throughout the city, updating building codes and ordinances, and as you say, connecting parts of the city to a trail system. What else can you tell me about those ideas?
Well, the trail system is going to be huge. We're starting the project on Lake Monroe, the Riverwalk extension, which will go from I-4 to the zoo, and then we'll go from French Avenue out to the hospital. And what's neat about the concept is we've tied in the two businesses, the zoo and the hospital, that are making the way stops. And what that does, that almost creates a bookend effect. So we'll be able to go out for grant money for the remainder of the trail system. And that actually ties into the Volusia County all the way around Lake Monroe for biking, for hiking and such. But what it also does is SunRail is just to the south of that area, and we want to make sure we make the trails connect into the SunRail department or SunRail area, which is going to be huge for us. You know, some people say that we're a little disadvantaged by the placement of our SunRail. We're kind of blessed in a way because we've got a blank slate out there. We've got a lot of vacant property. You know, we're creating our TOD, the layover of the transportation style development, and how all this ties together with the international airport, the zoo, the waterfront. You know, we've got a great opportunity over the next 10 years. We just got to make sure that we do it right the first time.
And for our listeners, TOD, I think, refers to transit-oriented design, those sort of design elements that tie in rail or bus or what have you, public transportation and you know, perhaps apartments or shops and the likes that are close to that center of transportation.
Absolutely. You know, it's actually in Seminole County that where it comes in, but in 7 years it'll be basically given over to the city of Sanford. So we're working with Seminole County hand in hand. We actually just approved some additional funding for the overlay and how we want to see it happen, and hopefully we'll be able to take that out to a private, you know, developer, you know, hopefully sooner than later, to get that, you know, get that area produced and really creating some income for the city and the residents of Sanford.
Steering committee members held a meeting in January, and they presented some of these ideas to the public. How did that meeting go, and what was the feedback?
The meeting went good. You know, we've got a lot of citizens that have put a lot of time into this. You know, Chris McLeod and his group, and they've really come together. You know, there's with anything like this, there's a lot of strife and not, I wouldn't say arguments, but, you know, directional issues, and they've really kind of pulled everything from the outside to try to get to a very micro level, from a 30,000 foot view down to, you know, a 1,000 foot view on certain indicators and certain areas. The one thing that we're obviously, that any city's going through right now, is how do you tie that into the budget? You know, you can have all the strategic plans you want and all the vision that you want, but how do you truly pull that into, you know, into the budgetary needs of the city, and how do we create some of those aesthetics that the city of Sanford needs? You know, one of the big projects that they were talking about is 46 coming into Sanford. You know, our gateway, you know, it needs to be redone. It needs to be upgraded. It needs to be beautified, and you know, some beautification. But how do you get that done with the amount of money that we have? You know, as municipalities, our main thing is protection of our citizens, clean the streets, pick up the trash, and, you know, and police and fire, obviously. So you've actually, we almost have to peel the onion back to try to find some money to do those things. Hopefully there's a recovery going on. You know, we were expected to be about 2.5% down on our ad valorem taxes next budget year, but we just got a letter that says that may increase from 1 to 2.5% as far as our ad valorem. So there's some indicators out there that we're going to have the capability to do some of these things. But that's really the struggle with the group. You can come up with these great grandiose ideas, but how do you fund them? And it's really going to be, that we've directed, is going to be cooperation between public private sector. It can't just rely on the public sector anymore.
Sanford, though, does have the structure. I mean, it's got the sort of basic architecture for building something pretty good. I mean, you've got the park system throughout the city. And, you know, I just want to throw back to this time last year, maybe a little bit further on, maybe in March last year, there were, you know, protesters and the like crowding out those parks. And I want to ask you, I mean, is this project Imagine Sanford, is it partly a response to what happened with Trayvon Martin?
We actually started this before the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman incident. We we may not have fast-tracked it as you know, it was more of a discussion and we were going through the hiring process of the consultant. You know, I believe that started last January, but you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that we've really put some pressure on the people putting this together to get it going. And you know, originally it was who do we want to be in 10 years and 20 years? Well, we, you know, I asked them to kind of pull that back a little bit. And so did the city manager of, you know, where are we going to be in a year or 3 years and 5 years? So we added some additional chores, so to speak, to, you know, to the commission to come back to us. And it changed the overall scope of it a little bit. But, you know, this actually started, this was one of my initiatives when I ran for office, is, you know, we didn't have a strategic plan. We didn't know how to tie that into budget. We just seemed to be putting out fires everywhere we went. And in today's day, you can't survive like that. You know, we've got an aging infrastructure. Ours is the oldest in Central Florida. So, you know, we put an inordinate amount of money into making sure our drain water's clean and flows properly. And you know, we've got a wastewater treatment plant on Lake Monroe. It drives me nuts. You know, it's the gem of Central Florida, Lake Monroe, but we've got a wastewater plant on there. So how do you develop around that? How do you make sure that it doesn't continue to smell? There's a lot of issues there that we just continually seem to be putting out fires. I want a direction. You know, I've asked this group to come with how to do things, but make sure that it's tied into the budget. So that I can't stress that enough. As a, you know, you can have this golden plate out there, but if you don't know how to, you don't have a way to fund it, then it's useless. We don't need another useless book on the shelf.
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 WMFE-FM. I'm talking with Sanford Mayor Jeff Triplett. I'm Matthew Petty. What do you think of when you think of Sanford? Let us know on Facebook or Twitter, or you can email us at intersection@wmfe.org. Mayor Triplett, I want to change direction a little bit. A new police chief starts in Sanford April 1st. Cecil Smith is deputy police chief from Elgin, Illinois. Now, Smith, who's black, replaces Bill Lee, who was fired in the aftermath of the Trayvon Martin shooting last year. How do you think this hiring of the new chief will help Sanford move forward from that shooting?
Well, you know, we've had several chiefs over the last couple of years. You know, we've had some incidents. We've had a portrayal of the city of Sanford that the media took and ran with. There was a lot of conspiracy theories out there as to what was going on. You know, we've got a wonderful city. We've got, you know, some things that no other city has. You know, we have to move down the road. We've with help of the judicial system, you know, with Department of Justice, you know, we've put together some plans to help bring the citizens and the feelings of the police force in some of our communities, help pull those together. When I sat down and talked to each of the candidates, you know, Cecil Smith, he's the guy. I truly believe that he's the guy. You know, he was heads above the other candidates. And when we talked about, you know, what Sanford needs and the healing process and bringing people into the fold, we've already started that, you know, with Norton Bonaparte and Andrew Thomas and the Blue Ribbon panel that we started, the 9-point plan that we're working on, you know, a lot of the healing. This guy can come in and he can make a real quick mark because it's already started. He's not starting anew with it. You know, it's been a year since all this has happened, and our city did a great job. Our police department, our fire department, Seminole County did a great job of working towards the resolution. And he's got a good head start on it. I truly believe that he's the guy for the job.
And you mentioned that there were some incidents in the past, and of course, you know, it came out sort of, I suppose, in the media after the Trayvon Martin incident that Sanford does have a bit of a history of racially charged confrontations between police and black residents in some cases, even before that shooting. So do you think Smith is up to the challenge?
I think he is. You know, I watched an interview he did on one of the local news stations, went up and talked to him, and you know, he's pretty soft-spoken, but I think he carries a big stick. I think his history, he's worked himself up through his department in Elgin, Illinois, and so he knows all all the assets, all the liabilities of a police department like ours. We've got some great men and women, you know, but like anything else, when you don't have a true leader, someone that is there, is going to stay there, you know, you can have some strayed effects. And I think that once he gets on the ground, and not to throw a cliche out there, but hits the street running, I think that this is the guy. Once again, I'll say it, I think this is the guy for the job.
Has he told you specifically at this stage how he plans to smooth out some of those racial divisions that have cropped up in the past?
I think a lot of it, you know, he's stated that he's watched a lot of the videos, and he's talked to a lot of people already. He's been in town several times. He's created some sort of his plan, both in his mind, and he's been talking with the city manager as to how to go about it. I think the biggest thing that Cecil brings to the table, that he has the ability to listen. He's been at the forefront of a lot of some racial issues within his own department. And you know, one of the things that he said to me, he said, you know, when I was a young officer, he was actually placed in the public housing system to be the guy that everybody came to. They knew that he was there. They knew he was with the police department. He worked hand in hand with the lower income areas, the minority area in Elgin, and you know, they trusted him. They talked to him. They you know, he really helped out in that. He spent several years doing that, and I think that's the biggest thing that he brings to the table, just the ability to listen and make some real definite marks, you know, immediately. You know, as I say, you know, speak softly, carry a big stick, so to speak, and I think he'll do that.
When I've talked to some of the residents in, for example, Goldsboro, in the past, they've said one of the things they want to see more of from the police department in Sanford is more visibility. They want to see, you know, police officers in Goldsboro on a regular basis, people who they know and they know are going to be there, sort of not just poking their head in from time to time, but actually sort of walking the streets and seeing what's going on. Is that something which the Sanford Police Department can do, do you think?
You know, that's we just created the neighborhood task force. You know, he's signed on to that, as he said. They have a similar program up there. And I think, you know, we've not done a good job in the past by just rotating people in police cars. You know, that it could be anybody. You know, citizens like to see the same face over and over to gain that trust. And one of the things that we've heard over and over again is if someone sees something going on, they may tell one police officer that then goes and tells another one, and then it gets out that this person is telling on someone bad, and the ramifications can be very bad when it comes back. So I think having certain individuals, this task force, that's all they do. They're in the neighborhoods. They're with the people. That builds that trust. And it's not just a drive-by. Community policing is not about drive-bys anymore in police cars with the windows rolled up. They have to stop. They have to talk. They have to ask the questions. You know, we've started, like I said before, we've started that path so he can hit the ground running with what he's already done up there, but what we're doing here also. So I think he's ahead of the game when he comes in.
And I mean, you talk about the safety complex, which is, you know, just a few blocks from Goldsboro. When I was down there for an anniversary of Trayvon Martin's birthday a couple of weeks back, there were some police officers who came down from that, and they were talking to the residents, and it seemed like there was some good feeling from the community there. But also, some people who I talked to were like, "Who are these people? You know, what are they doing?" That, you know, they hadn't. So it was almost like they hadn't sort of seen, you know, a bunch of people like that come down in uniform and just sort of spend time with the community before. I mean, is that something that's going to change going forward, do you think?
Absolutely. And we spent a lot of time talking about this, you know, in city council meetings and with our executives at the police department, is that you can place a building somewhere, but if you don't open the doors and if you're not visible, it doesn't mean anything. And I didn't have the opportunity to go down to the historic museum that day, but I, you know, I've heard great things that there were, you know, they were talking, speaking to the citizens. There was a lighter feeling than what's been in the past, just because they are being visible. And, you know, we've got You know, Captain McAuliffe, who's kind of in charge of that, Captain Scott, who's doing a lot of work where they've said, we want to be visible. We want you to trust us. And you can't have trust unless you're out there on the streets talking to these people.
Now, Neighborhood Watch volunteer, or former Neighborhood Watch volunteer, George Zimmerman is charged with second-degree murder and Trayvon Martin's death, and he faces trial in June, but he also plans to evoke a stand your ground in his defense, and he faces a hearing on that, which is scheduled at this stage for April. How are city leaders preparing for the media that's definitely going to be there and potential demonstrators around that event?
You know, it's in the hands of the state now, and it's in the hands of the defense. They're doing their dance as to what, you know, how that whole thing comes down. I'm not, whatever transpires, you know, we've the city of Sanford has said, you know, justice will be served one way or another, whatever that justice is. We're prepared. Obviously, you prepare. You know, we've got different plans that we've talked about. You know, the first in March of last year, you know, people came to our town in droves. You know, there was a lot of people around, but there was not one arrest. There was not one incident of violence. And my expectation is that it'll be the same this time. You know, you prepare for the worst. You hope for the best. And that's all we can do is just really have the plan in place.
And, of course, you talk about the peaceful protests last year, and you know, 1 year ago, those protests were primarily concerned with the delay in arresting George Zimmerman, and he wasn't immediately arrested because he claimed self-defense under that stand your ground. I mean, have things changed in Sanford since his arrest?
You know, we're working down the path. We found out that there's a lot of old wounds in the city of Sanford, and we're no different than any other city, whether it be in the south, the north, the west, the east, wherever it is. This could have I really feel that this could have transpired anywhere, and those wounds could have been opened up as to what happened in the past. We can't change the past. As much as you want to try, you cannot change the past. What you can do, though, is you can make a better future. And I think we've really done an excellent job, you know, to pat ourselves on the back as to listen to what happened, to listen to the stories, to listen to the people that feel they didn't get justice for their son that got murdered or their daughter that got killed and there was no one was arrested. You know, we're re-looking in those files. We're looking at the reasons why things transpired. And you know, I may not be able to walk in your shoes, but I can walk next to you and I can listen and I can make a better future. And I think that's what our city commission's doing. I think that's what our police department sees and knows and understands. You can't just say, trust me. You got to show that you have a reason to be trusted.
Do you feel, though, that as the mayor of Sanford, do you feel like in some ways the city is in a little bit of a limbo situation while this trial process is ongoing? Is that sort of stopping the city from moving forward in some respects?
That's one aspect of our life in the city of Sanford, but we continue to develop. You know, we have developments that are coming back to us. You know, we just approved a $70 million project that is going out by our mall. We just reapproved some high-end apartment complexes. Sanford Avenue is going forward. You know, we're going to peel back that street any day now. So you have all these balls in the air at the same time. You just got to figure out which one you're working on at a certain time. I mean, you can't just stop the city for an event. It's coming. We know it's coming. We know the events and the dates that they're going to take place. We know that a lot of people are going to be watching and are going to be here, and you deal with that in the moment. You make the plan and you deal with that in the moment, but you can't stop the city because of that.
Are you worried about what could happen if George Zimmerman, for example, is freed under a stand your ground immunity hearing?
I'm always worried. You know, you never know, as I said before, you know, a couple interviews ago, you never know what someone's going to do when a camera's put in their face. You know, you hope for the best. And my expectation, I guess I'm a little naive in my thought process, but I expect the best out of everybody. You know, I expect them to behave and you know, everybody has the right to protest. That's our right as Americans, but it's a right to protest peacefully. And my expectation is that's what's going to happen.
Do you think that Zimmerman can get a fair trial in Sanford?
I read that they're pulling in 500 prospective jurors. In today's media day, you look back at the Casey Anthony case. You know, everybody has formulated some type of decision in one way or another. You got to do the best with what you have, and you know, in today's 24/7 media, I don't know who doesn't know about it, you know, but we're at the epicenter of it. So hopefully, you know, that's our system. It's not perfect, but it is still the best in the world, our system, and that's what you got to rely on.
Mm-hmm. Now, after Trayvon Martin's shooting, Al Sharpton made some comment. He said that Sanford could become known as the Birmingham and Selma of the 21st century. Clearly, that's something you probably don't want. But in what other ways have you been working to change Sanford's image?
Well, you know, we've got the Imagine Sanford going on. You know, we've got some of our – what I'm very proud of is some of our business leaders got together, formed a group. They meet, you know, a couple times a month, sit down and talk about, you know, almost a rebranding of the city of Sanford with city staff. And that's not coming out of City Hall. That's the neat thing. That's actually our business people saying, hey – What we've been portrayed as by a couple of individuals that have a microphone, that's not who we are. Come see us, you know. Come visit our restaurants. We've got a great nightlife in Sanford. We're a very diverse area. You know, we're dog friendly. We, you know, come stroll through our streets and so this. Everybody seems a little jaded when it comes out of City Hall. So, you know, it's almost a demand of sorts of we're rebranding our image. You know, we're the friendly city, a lot to like. But that came out of our business leaders. They're vested in our community. So, you know, that's neat to me that we see that. And they kind of started that on their own. The Imagine Sanford group. These are people that aren't getting paid. They just want a better Sanford for them, for their kids, for their family, for anybody that comes in. You know, our citizens have really grabbed the flag and taken it and ran with it. And you know, you can't ask for anything more out of citizens.
Jeff Triplett, what's your vision for Sanford? Where do you want the city to go?
Well, I would like to see. You know, we've got Lake Monroe. And we've never really done a good job of where what we want to do with that waterfront. I would like to see some true quality development come in. That you know, we've got the park system that we're continually keep going. We've got this waterway that I'd love to see developed to really create a base and create that walking atmosphere, the you know, almost the green synergy of what a core community could be. You know, we've got 1792 getting ready to do, you know, $1 million worth of streetscape. There's a lot of things going on. I really want to see what the output of the Imagine Sanford is, and like I tell my commissioners is, let's pick three items, and we've only got a short time on Earth or within, you know, a governing body, you know, let's pick three items and really make them work. One would be, I'd really like to see Marine Isle go ahead with the development that's been slated for it, and that's the marina could be the gem of the city of Sanford.
I've been speaking with Sanford Mayor Jeff Triplett. Nice speaking with you.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
The conversation about what's happening in Florida continues online at wmfe.org/intersection. There you can sign up for our weekly podcast. Support for Intersection comes from our listeners. Amy Green is assistant producer. I'm Matthew Petty. Thanks for listening.